Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 17 through chapter 20, actually the first part of 21, we read about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was the king over Judah. But there's some things that are very interesting when you read those chapters. You'll notice that the Lord substantially blessed Jehoshaphat and Judah during Jehoshaphat's reign. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1, that he strengthened himself against Israel. In 2 Chronicles 17, 3, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. In 2 Chronicles 17, 6, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 7 through 9, Jehoshaphat authorized the teaching of the words of God throughout Judah. He set some men, he sent princes and Levites to teach in the cities of Judah, and they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. God blessed him. The fear of God kept the neighboring kingdoms from attacking. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 10, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah. So they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 17, verses 12 through 18, Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly in commerce and in defense. In verse 12, he waxed great exceedingly. He had built in Judah castles and cities of store, and had much business in the cities of Judah. So the commerce is great. And then for the remainder of the chapters, you see that he assimilated an army of 1,160,000 troops. Boy, I'm telling you, you talk about blessed. The Lord substantially blessed Jehoshaphat and Judah during Jehoshaphat's reign. All these wonderful things. Strengthened himself against Israel. The Lord was with him. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He taught the words of God throughout Judah. The fear of God kept the neighboring kingdoms from attacking. And he waxed great exceedingly. Wow. That's some blessing. And yet, when you read these chapters, 2 Chronicles chapter 17 all the way through 20, when it came to his dealings with Israel, he compromised. He compromised his godly principles, and as a result, he incurred the wrath of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, in verse 2, Jehu the son of Hanani the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" You know what he'd done? He'd gone over and made a deal with Ahab. "Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." It's shocking. A king this blessed now finds himself with the wrath of God upon him. What do you do? Well, he fought in a battle with Ahab against the Syrians that he knew Ahab would lose because of the prophecy of a man named Micaiah. When you read 2 Chronicles chapter 18, fabulous. It's just like reading 1 Kings chapter 22. All of the prophets of Baal are telling Ahab, you need to go up to Ramoth-Gilead and recover it because God will bless you. And Jehoshaphat, he recognizes right away there's something wrong with these prophecies. And he says, is there not a man here that can prophesy for the Lord? And Ahab said, yeah, there's yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil, the same as Micaiah the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, well, let's hear him. And Micaiah comes, and he says, I saw all Israel scattered as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return therefore every man to his house in peace. 2 Chronicles 18:16. You know what he's saying? Ahab's going to die in the battle. Now, even Micaiah explains exactly how the Lord became a lying spirit in the mouth of all of Ahab's prophets to convince him to go into this war. So, listen, Jehoshaphat hears from the mouth of God, through Micaiah, the man of God, that Ahab's going to die in this battle, that all those prophets of Baal have been lying, all right? And so Ahab said, let's go fight. And Jehoshaphat said, sure, let's go. And Ahab even says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dress like one of the soldiers. You stay in your kingly attire. I will disguise myself and go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes, he says in 2 Chronicles 18:29. Now, how much wisdom is there in that? Because now there appears to be just one king on the entire battlefield. Ahab has done this with one desire. He wants Jehoshaphat to be killed, not himself. And Jehoshaphat is surrounded. If it hadn't been for the Lord's intervention, Jehoshaphat would have been killed. In 2 Chronicles 18:31 and 32, it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it's the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, watch it, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. God saved his life. If it hadn't been for the intervention of the Lord, Jehoshaphat would have been killed, and these men would have thought they had killed Ahab. And not only that, not only did he fight in battle with Ahab, but he also joined with Ahaziah, Ahab's son, to make ships to go to Tarshish. Which, you know, by this time, because there had been this great blessing of the Lord in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, by the end of chapter 20, he's making these ships and hooking up with another ungodly king down in Israel. That's shocking that he did this after the Lord fought for Judah. When you read about the way the Lord fought for Judah in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and how he defeated without anybody in Israel, without anybody in Judah even raising their weapon, he defeated the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and the children of Mount Seir miraculously. And yet he goes now with Ahaziah to make ships to go to Tarshish. What is that? Why? When I read this, I just think, what was going through his mind? Why in the world would Jehoshaphat compromise like that? Why, after being so blessed by God, would he go join himself with ungodly Ahab? I mean, read 2 Kings. I mean, you could see how ungodly this man is. Last part of 1 Kings, he's a terrible king. Why in the world would Jehoshaphat do that? Well, I'll tell you, there's four reasons. The compromise of Jehoshaphat's principles was motivated by four things. And we're going to see what those are, because hopefully they will show us why, when God has blessed you so much, you're tempted and sometimes allured to go do something stupid that's contrary to good biblical principles. Jehoshaphat was motivated to compromise by his consort. What's a consort? It's a spouse. It's a spouse. You got to look at who Jehoshaphat married. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 18:1 that Jehoshaphat joined affinity with Ahab. The Bible says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. You know what it means to join affinity? Well, it can mean just to kind of make a deal with, but the first definition is it's a relationship that is established by marriage. You know who Jehoshaphat married? He married a woman named Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. Omri is Ahab's father. So he married Ahab's sister. You say, how do you know this? Well, let's look at a few passages of Scripture. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 28, the first thing we want to establish is that Ahab is the son of Omri. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. So Omri is Ahab's father. Athaliah is Omri's daughter. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 2. The Bible says, 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. Watch it. His mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. Now, this is a very interesting thing here, this 42-year-old Ahaziah. This 42-year-old Ahaziah who reigned in Judah was her son. And he was also the son of Jehoshaphat. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 9. He sought Ahaziah. This is Jehu. He's going to kill this man. He sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him because, said they, watch it, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. If he's the son of Athaliah and he's the son of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat was married to Athaliah. And you can be sure of this. When Athaliah's brother, who is Ahab, the king of Israel, when Athaliah's brother needed help in his fight against the Syrians to reclaim Ramoth-Gilead, she was there to motivate Jehoshaphat to go help him. You know that. I mean, the Bible doesn't say, and Athaliah convinced Jehoshaphat that he needed to go help Ahab. But here, listen, in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1, he had strengthened himself against Israel. They were still enemies at that time. Now they make this marriage. Well, you just know how that pillow talk went. Now, sweetheart, you need to go down there and help my brother. He's getting ready to take back that land against the Syrians, and he might need some help in the battle. Now, take all these 1,160,000 soldiers you got over here and go down there and help him. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Listen. Jehoshaphat compromised his good principles, his good relationship with God, to do something that his wife wanted him to do. And I say that by implication from these things we just read. I'm going to tell you something. Be very careful who you marry. Why? Because she can motivate you to compromise your biblical principles. I've watched it over and over again. Man's doing well to serve the Lord. Woman's doing well to serve the Lord. Here comes a man into her life, or here comes a woman into his life. They're not saved. And then they get, you know, into a relationship. The thing gets serious. They go ahead and decide they want to get married, hopefully down the road. And you know what? Down the road, he is not serving the Lord. Or if she was the one that was serving the Lord, now she's not serving the Lord. I've watched it over and over again. You know what they did? Compromised. You know why? Because of their consort. Because of the person they married. And you see that in Jehoshaphat. Else how can you make sense out of somebody that's been so exceedingly blessed by the Lord to stoop down to do what he did? Compromise of Jehoshaphat's principles was motivated in part by his consort, by his wife, by his spouse. Here's another thing that motivated him. His concord. What's a concord? A concord's an agreement. It's a deal you make between two people. A concord can be between countries. It can be between individuals. You see, Israel and Judah had been enemies from the prior kings. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, we read in 1 Kings chapter 15, had fought battles during their reigns. Asa and Baasha, Asa was king over Judah, Baasha was king over Israel in 1 Kings chapter 15. They had fought battles during their reign. So in 2 Chronicles 17:1, you know Jehoshaphat, when he goes to the throne after Asa, his father, dies, he strengthens himself against Israel. Why? Because Israel had been attacking them. But the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 22, in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 44, that something happened. You know what happened? They made a deal. Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. And you know, when Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel, you know what happened? Now he's compromised by this agreement, his strong stand with the Lord, because Ahab does anything but stand with the Lord. Ahab's the one that had Naboth killed to take his vineyard. Ahab's the one that was married to Jezebel. Jezebel is a Baal worshiper. Ahab is worshiping Baal. Why in the world would he make peace with somebody that was worshiping a false god? In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, in verse 3, when Ahab approached Jehoshaphat about going into the battle against the Syrians to reclaim Ramoth-Gilead, listen to what Jehoshaphat says. Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? Watch it. He answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. There's the deal. There's the covenant. There's the concord. Jehoshaphat pledged absolute support for Ahab in his fight with Syria at Ramoth-Gilead, and yet these are Baal worshipers. The prophets that are prophesying here are prophets of Baal. You better be very careful who your friends are and with whom you make agreements. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because they can motivate you to compromise your biblical principles. Here, if you're an honest businessman and you get into a deal with a guy that's not saved, and his practices aren't biblical, his business practices aren't biblical, then he drags you into relationships in order to try to, you know, increase the wealth of your company that you wouldn't go into on your own if you hadn't joined with him. But now you're doing deals that you wouldn't have normally done because you got a deal, you got a concord, you've got an agreement. And that's what happened to Jehoshaphat, and he compromised his good principles, his godly principles. But that's not all. The compromise of Jehoshaphat's principles was motivated by not only who he married, his consort, and the deal he made, his concord, but also by his covetousness. Yeah. You know, Jehoshaphat had plenty of wealth. Man, God had blessed him abundantly. Look in 2 Chronicles 17:5. The Bible says, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. Watch it. And he had riches and honor in abundance. Look at 18:1. 2 Chronicles 18:1, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. So, if he already had all this, why? What's the deal? He wanted more. And you know what he did? Because he wanted more, he joined himself with Ahab's son, a king named Ahaziah, in order to make ships to go to Tarshish. Well, when you read 2 Chronicles chapter 9, you read about Solomon. You know what Solomon did? He made some ships to go down to Tarshish. And they went down there, and I mean, they came back with tremendous merchandise. They came back with gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. And old Jehoshaphat thought, well, it was good enough for old Solomon. Believe I'm going to make me some ships and go down there too. And since Ahaziah was already involved in it, all he had to do was partner up with him. I'm going to tell you something. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 35 through 37. After this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel. This is Ahab's son, who did, look at it, very wickedly. Now Jehoshaphat knew that Ahaziah was a very wicked king. You read about him at the very end in 1 Kings chapter 22. The very end of 1 Kings and at the very beginning of 2 Kings chapter 1, this is the guy when he sends captains to go get Elijah. Fire is coming down and burning up the captains and the 50 soldiers that are with him. He's a bad guy, man. And the Lord knows it. And so does Jehoshaphat. And yet, verse 36 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 says he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. That's where Solomon was making them. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavan of Mareshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Oh, man. What happened? The Lord destroyed the ships. Why? Because he didn't want Jehoshaphat helping that ungodly king or reaping the benefit of his association with that ungodly king. You better be careful about compromising your biblical principles out of covetousness. You know what I've noticed from being in business before I got into the ministry, from being in banking before I got into the ministry, and then from being in the ministry and working with people who are in business? Some men, I would say even maybe many men, look at business as something that is separate from their church life or their Christian life, and they do things that are not based on good biblical principles in business because, after all, it's just business. You better watch out. You better watch out. The Lord could destroy your works just like he destroyed the ships of Jehoshaphat. You say, well, I've been doing this for a long time and he hadn't destroyed them yet. Well, you hadn't faced the judgment yet. Read 1 Corinthians. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. That's the judgment seat of Christ. And when a man builds with wood, hay, and stubble, you know what happens? All of his works burn up and he suffers loss. You better be careful. You better be careful. One more thing. What in the world caused a man like Jehoshaphat, who was good, he was godly, and very successful, to get hooked up with Ahab and Israel? Well, it was his consort. He married Ahab's sister, his concord. He made a deal. He made a peace agreement, a peace treaty with Israel. So he felt compelled. He was covetous. It wasn't enough to have what he had. He wanted to go out and get some more. And then for this, finally, control, control. What is that? Hunger for more power. Now, what was Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And Ahab was the king of Israel. And when they joined affinity with each other, you know what there was going on? There was an attempt to reunite the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah. That's what was going on. When Ahab died, you know what Jehoshaphat's title was? Jehoshaphat became the king of Israel. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 21 at verse 2. Jehoshaphat in verse 1 slept with his fathers. Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. Verse 2, he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel. These guys are all named here. All these were the sons, watch it, of Jehoshaphat, look at it, king of Israel. He wasn't the king of Israel. He's king of Judah. But when Ahab died and Jehoram reigned in his stead, you know what happened to Jehoshaphat? He became the king of Israel. In other words, now he is the king over the reunited kingdoms of Judah and Israel. That's why there were two Ahaziahs reigning in Judah when Jehu came to take over Israel and destroy Jehoram and all of Ahab's house. We're not going to take a lot of time right here at the end of this broadcast to squeeze all of this in. Let me just say this. The 22-year-old Ahaziah that you read about in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 26, he was the one that ruled over Judah. Jehoram, this son right here that is the son of Ahab, he ruled over Israel. And the 42-year-old Ahaziah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 2, who was Athaliah's son, he was the guy that was going to rule over the reunited kingdom just like Jehoshaphat his father had done. Now that's a little more, you got to do a little more digging, a little more reading, but you'll see it. You'll see it. You know the 22-year-old Ahaziah and the 42-year-old Ahaziah are different men. It's not the same king with somebody making a typographical or printing error in the man's age. You can tell that because they die differently. Their mothers are different. Okay? Totally. So what happened is Jehoshaphat, listen, wasn't content with just ruling in Judah. And perhaps his motives were good. I mean, he was a very godly man and had brought Judah back to the words of God. They were teaching all over Judah, getting these people back to the words of God, he could have easily desired to bring Israel back to the Lord as well by expanding his reign over them, by making a deal with Ahab, hoping to have some influence to get this Baal worshiper and this Baal worshiper's wife away from the false god and back to the Lord. Whatever, nevertheless, God was displeased with his attempt and completely thwarted his plans. God used Jehu, that you'll read about, reading on from 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and 2 Kings chapter 8. You know what? He used Jehu to totally destroy this affinity. He killed people in both houses, in Judah and in Israel, to tear up all this that had been done by Jehoshaphat and Ahab to try to bring these kingdoms back together. So here's the lesson. You better be very careful with your hunger for power. Unbridled ambition can be deadly. Well, let's draw this message to a conclusion. Jehoshaphat was a great king over Judah. Every time I read about him, I love to read about him. He was a great king. But he ventured into some things that really cost him. And what he ventured into are things that are instructive for you and me. You and I have to be very careful not to repeat what Jehoshaphat did. Be very careful who you marry, because she can influence you away from the Lord. Be careful with whom you make deals. When you shake hands on a deal and decide that you're going to enter into an agreement with somebody, you better know they believe what you believe. If they don't make the deal. Be very careful with your covetousness. The desire that you have to have what you have and then to get more can lead you to compromise biblical principles in order to get it, and God will destroy what you possess. And then be very careful with your ambition, because you may desire to have more than God wants you to have, and it'll work against you. Any one of these can get between you and the Lord and really mess up a good relationship with God. Don't let that happen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.